Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Mem Hey, and we're starting from five lines from the bottom of Mem Dalid Amid Beis. In the Mishnah, we learned B'chol Yoyim HaYezahava Yoroik. Throughout the year, the gold was a gold of Yoroik. Yoroik doesn't mean green in this connection; it means it was a yellow gold. While on Yom Kippur, it was red gold. Yeah, but what are we referring to? We're referring to specifically the machta that was used for transporting the gecholim from the mizbeach hachitzoin to the kodesh kedoshim for purposes of doing the chafinas hatoiris that day. So back in the Mishnah, it said that every single day they used to use a machta shel kesef on the mizbeach, take the four or six kavin, we had a machloikis in our Mishnah, and then pour them over into a smaller machta, which was made out of gold, which was all of three kavin, and the Mishnah said that that gold one was, as we just learned now, yellow gold, but on Yom Kippur, it was red gold. As we'll see in the Gemara, what the reason was, why you have stuffed the red gold. Zez Gemara, Omer Rav Chisda, Shiva Zahavim Hay. There are seven different types of gold altogether. And the Gemara enumerates all seven. The first one is Zahav, gold. Zahav Toiv, that's number two. Zahav Oifir is three. Zahav Lupas, four. Zahav Shochet is five. Zahav Sogur is six. And Zahav Parvin is seven. And now the Gemara explains each one. Zohav and Zohav Toif. How do I know that there's Zohav and Zohav Toif? Except it says in the Pasuk, back in Bereishis, Uzahav Ha'oretz Hahi Toif Shamam Doilach Yevan HaShoyam. So what do I see from that Pasuk? Says the bottom Rashi. Since it says that the Zohav of that particular region was Toif, is a Siman says Rashi, Mechlal De'ika Zohav Stoma. It must be regular gold, and therefore the Torah is emphasizing with the gold of this land, that Zov Toiv. Oh, so we see that there are two different dargois, two different levels of gold, Zov and Zov Toiv. So that's two. Zov Oifir to Osimi Oifir. It comes from a place called Oifir. That's how it got the name, Zov Oifir. That's three. Zov Mupaz, Shendoime Lipaz. What means Doime Lipaz? Tap Rashi. Matziv Kimargolius. It shines and radiates like a pearl. That's number four. Zov Shochet.
A pearl is usually white.
That could
it
be.
It glistens.
We're talking more the radiance and the brilliance as opposed to the color. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Zov Shochet. What does that mean? Nothing to do with Shchita. It has to do with Shenitfa Kachut, which means that it was spun very, very finely into a thin golden thread. That's why it was called Shochet from Lashon Chut. Chut meaning a thread. That's how beautiful that one was. So that was number five. Zov Sogur, Bishosh Niftach, Kolach Anuyois Nizgorais. Zov Sogur was such a pure, such a beautiful gold that when one person would put up a sign in his window, I am selling Zohav Sogur, all the other stores could go and shut their shutters because nobody would come to those other stores, no customers, because everybody wanted to have the Zohav Sogur. So the Lashon of Sogur means I'm open for business, and you're by definition not. Everybody else will shut their doors because nobody else will be interested in buying inferior gold relative to the Zohav Sogur. And the Zohav Parvim, which is number seven, Shadoim Aladama Parim. The reason why it got that name is because it had a reddish tint to it, like the red gold that we spoke about in our Mishnah. And since they brought the Dam Lefnai Lefnin on Yom Kippur, that's why that Zohav also had a reddish tint instead of the yellow U-H-U-E that it had throughout the week, throughout the year. That's how it got the name Zohav Parvim. It was Zohim Aladama Parim, like the blood of oxen, of cows.
The order that the Gemara presents these different types of gold, does it indicate the Gemara's preference or
the superiority? Yeah, I was wondering about right. that. Because Sogur sounds like it's the highest, but then it says that the last one is mentioned afterwards. I thought it was in the ascending order. Zav, Zav, Tov. you know,
the first two is certainly that's the case, but the others don't seem to be, because it just says Zov that comes from Ophir. I don't know whether the Ophir gold was particularly nice or
the storekeepers didn't have to close their shops on the at the Ophir.
Exactly.
or the other types of gold. And if the other stores have to close, that means that he's got the best kind of gold. Exactly. Or the most desired gold.
That's for sure. Zov Sogri indicates that it's top of the line.
The ones that Solomon sent ships to get this gold Ophir, so it must have been some sparkly nice.
I assume so. Exactly. And we continue on Rav Ashi Omar Chamishain. There were really not seven, there were only five altogether. Cholchad Bachad Ispe Zohov Uzahav Toif. What Rav Ashi is saying is start your count not from Zohov Toif, but start from Zohov Hoifir and Zohov Mupaz and Zohov Shochut and Zohov Sogur and Zohov Parvim. Then each one of those five, there were two classes. You had the regular Zov, and then you had the extra special super duper one. So even among the Zov Sogur, you had two levels. You had the Zov Sogur, and then you had the Zov Toiv Sogur. Oh boy, that was really, really special. Tanya Mihochi, Chol Yoyim. Now the Tanya Mihochi is just going specifically on that last piece on the Zov Parvin. That what? He said Zov Parvin means Doim L'dama Parvin. Tanya Mihochi, Chol Yoyim Hoy is the Havi Yorik. Every single day, the Machta had a yellow tint to it, a gold yellow tint to it, a yellow gold. Whenever Yorick means green, it says Yorick Karsi. That means it's green. When it says Yorick Stam, it means that it's yellow. Vayoyim Odin, but today on Yom Kippur, it had a reddish tint to it. Behind the Zov Parvin, that's the Zov Parvin that we just mentioned. Shadoima, Vedam, Haporim. Oh, so you see, Zov Parvin comes from the Loshen of Dam Parim because it would look like reddish blood of the Parvin. Right, now we talk a little bit about the toys. Chol yoyim makriv pras shachris upras bin avoyim. Every single day they were makriv half a mona of the Torah, thank you, in the morning, and a pras half of a mona in the afternoon. That was b'chol yoyim, as opposed to on Yom Kippur, where the Kohen Gadol put his hands into three monim, which is much, much larger. This is one mona every day. This is three monim. And b'chol yoyim moiseh daka, every single day of the week, Victorious was very fine. Vayoyim, but on Yom Kippur, daka min adaka, it was really refined to the nth degree. Zokhi mo'tan rabban, he learned in the Braisa. Daka mal tamulayim. Why does it say the word daka? Now, where does it say the word daka? We have in Torah Ora Sholem, number one, this is a pasuk towards the beginning of Achri Mois. We're talking about the Yom Kippur Avoida. So the Kohen Gadol v'lokach maloi hamachta, he goes and takes this fire pan, kach li'eish of fiery coals, mi'al ha'mizbeach, from the mizbeach achitzim, of Hashem, u'maloi chofnov, and in his hands full of ketores, samim daka. Daka means that it was very, very fine, very well refined. Straight to Gemara, back to the Gemara. Matamalei, why does it say daka? Bali Kvanemar, doesn't it say by all the Keturis, Vishachata Mimena Hodek? Where is this pasuk? Rashi says it's towards the end of Shemoyna Rashi, the Torah Ora Sholem, Vishachata Mimena Hodek, Vesata Mimena Lefnego Eidus, Boyle Moyna, Sheiwei Choshama, Kodish Kodashim Tiyamachem, and that Vishachata Mimena Hodek is referring to the Keturis. So that being the case, it says about the daily Keturis that it was Vishachata Mimena Hodek. Why did it say about the Yom Kippur Keturis that it was Daka? Elohavi Daka Mina Daka. That comes to tell you that when it came Yom Kippur, they once again took the samamonim of the ktores and put it once again through the grinding mill or through the kalim that were used to grind and to crush these ingredients to do it yet one more time, so it should be even more refined than on a daily basis. B'chol yom kahanim oilim mizrochei shel kemish. Every single day the kahanim would go up on the Mizrach side, at the eastern side of the ramp to get to the top of the Mizbeach, and they would come down on the western side. However, the Kohen Gadol, when he went up, he went directly down the middle, up and down. Says the Gemara, what's the reason why every day the Kohanim would go to the right hand side of the Kevesh and go up to the ramp to the Mizbeach? Yom Amar, Kol Pina Shata Poina LeYehu Ele Derech Yemin LeMizrach. When a person is ascending the ramp to go up to the Mizbeach, he should always go liyamin. Liyamin means to his right. So the right hand side of the Kevish, that is the Mizrach side. The Kevish starts on the ground from the Doroim, from the southern side. You walk up, you're going towards the north. If you're going on the right, you're going on the eastern side. When you come down, you're coming down the western side. Okay, so that's the reason why every day the Kohanim went up the right and they came down the left in accordance with that memra, the Amavah. Vayoyim, however, today on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is Oyla B'Emtza. In our Gemara it says Olin, but the Chayyim should go and say Ole, and that's what the Girsa is in the Gimel on the side. Ole B'Emtza, the Yore B'Emtza, because we're talking about a single individual, not talking about multiple. So the Kohen Gadol went up on his own in the middle, and he came down the middle. My time Mishim Kvoyde the Kohen Gadol. Now what does it mean that he went up the middle and down the middle? So Rashi explains what it means to say is that all the other Kohanim were not allowed to go the middle of the ramp. They had to go on the ramp for the particular service, the avodah that they were doing. They would go up, and then they would come down. However, the Kohen Gadol, since he was like a ben bayis, it's as if he was at home, kaviyachu, with the Shechina, with the Rabbi Nishalayim, so therefore he was able to traipse back and forth wherever he wanted to. It's his house. If you happen to be a guest in somebody's house, you're not going to start walking up and down, back and forth, the dining room, the living room, the bedrooms, and the bathrooms, everywhere else. You're going to go wherever your host or hostess allows you to go. Here, however, since the Kohen Gadol felt at home, he was able to go back and forth on the ramp, to the right, to the left, to the middle. So look at Rashi, about 8 lines from the top of the Amud. It says, Rashi, Mishim Kvoidoi, Laharoiz Chashivusoi, to go and show how choshev, how important he is. Shehu kiben bayis, as if he happens to be a household member. Or makiv l'torach v'shalol l'torach, and he can go up and down the ramp at whim, regardless of whether he has to go to the right, to the left, up, down, back. It's all his, he can go whichever way he wants at all times.
How would you translate the word makiv?
Makiv means to go around, like a lashon hakofa.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Zokti moravaitem. And today from a kitoin shel zohar, special klishores made out of gold. My time of what happens, special kohen gadol. Kohen gadol is special. He's not a kohen hedjin, so he gets that special treatment, that he gets a special kitoin shel zohar. Also, the kohen gadol doesn't have to go back and forth to the kiyor. Kiyor was located in one particular place, bein ulam v'mizbeach, a little bit moshach, a little bit pull down a little bit towards the south, but anybody that needed to do Kiddush Yadayim Ve'Raglayim had to constantly go to the Kiyor if and when he needed to do Nu Avoida and his hands became soiled or they became tummy, he went to the bathroom, whatever. The Kohen Gadol, it was a cover thing, he didn't have to go and traipse back and forth, particularly on Yom Kippur, because Chulshu the Kohen Gadol, so the Kiyor went with him, so to speak. That is the Kitoin Shozov, went with the Kohen Gadol whenever he needed to wash his hands. And he needed to do that 10 times, as you recall, on Yom Kippur. Okay, b'chol yom ha'yusham arba ma'aroch. Here's the thing. Every day there were only 4. Today there were 5. Now we're going to have a fairly lengthy braisa and a fairly lengthy discussion about how many marochis there were on the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach that we're talking about, of course, is always the Mizbeach hachitzon. That's the Mizbeach that was in the Azar. We're not talking about the Mizbeach that was the Mizbeach HaPanimi, that was in the Heichal, which was only used for certain very particular purposes. As far as the Mizbeach HaChitzon, as we'll see, there's a four-way machloikis, how many ma'arochis. Marochis means how many fires. Or the fancy English word is how many pyres. P-Y-R-E-S. How many pyres were on the Mizbeach. And we'll see the purpose of each one of these pyres. Although there's a four-way machlokes how many pyres they had on a daily basis, kuli alma moida, that on Yom Kippur, we added one more. Ezochi bar, tanarba. V'chol yoyim ha'yushtai marochis. Every day of the week, we only had 2 major marochis pyres on the top of the Mizbeach. V'ayoyim, and today on Yom Kippur, we had shalosh, we had 3. What were the 2? What was the 3rd? Achas, on a daily basis, we had Marocha Gedoyla. Marocha Gedoyla means the big pyre that was used for all of the Karbonis. All the Karbonis means that other than the Karbon Ola, all the other Karbonis, all of the fats, what we call the Aymarin, because it's not just the fats, you also had part of the kovein and part of the keiva, other parts enumerated in the Torah, all of those were put together, aymerim, onto the mizbech. We are on the mizbech, on the merachah gedolah, so that they should go and be burnt. In addition to that, the korban oila, you had not only the aymerim, but all of the evarim, because the oila was kula kolo, the entire korban went on the mizbech. But they didn't go and take it after the shechita, just dump it on. As you know, we have hefshet v'nituach. First they removed the oir, the hide from the outside, and then nituach, they went and cut it into pieces, and also they cleaned it out in the base of the mechayim to take away a lot of the shmutz, and then put on the mizbech. That was the carbon oil. In addition to that, they also had the komet of your regular carbon mincha. That's when you go and take with three fingers, and that kmitza is the askara to remind the Kodesh Baruch Hu of that individual. Put it on the mizbeach, and when you had a minchas koyin, it was kol tia. When a koyin brought a carbon mincha, the entire mincha went on the mizbeach. That was the big maracha that was busy on a constant basis. Now, besides that, there was also a smaller one. That was a maracha shnia shel ketores. And when we talk about the maracha shnia shel ketores, we do not mean that you put the ketores on the mizbeach achitzon, but rather maracha shnia means that there was a much smaller pyre. And the purpose of that pyre was to produce coals that would be shoveled twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening by the kohen. He would go and shovel it in a special machta, in such a fire pan. He would go and take those coals, he would then transfer it to another fire pan, as we learned. And then he would take that second fire pan into the heichel, and he would put it on the mizbeach hapanimi, and then he would put on the ketores of the daily, on a daily basis. That was the pras b'shachris, pras ben arboim, and there would be a beautiful ketores, a beautiful incense, it would go up.
Where was the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim that we talked about in the earlier daily Tamid?
Yeah, where were they?
So they were on the Maracha Gedola?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely. In fact, the Gemara said, because it says Oisa in the Pasuk, and therefore Oisa means this one as opposed to the second one, means Maracha Gedola, not the Maracha Shnei. Anyway, Maracha Maracha Shnei Shul Ketais. Biachas! And now one more Shemesif from Bay Bayan. We see the Mayim means that on that particular day, on Yom Kippur, we added one more higher. The reason why we added one more is to be able to remove the gecholim, again, the coals, for the ketores lifnai v'lifnim, which was only once a year in the Kodesh Kedoshim. But for instance, the ketores that we brought, when the ketores of the Mizbeach HaPanimi, in other words, the ketores that was brought on a daily basis, that again they took from the same coals of the same pyre that Maracha Shnia. The Maracha Shnia was used on Yom Kippur as well, and it was used twice to produce the coals in the morning, the coals in the afternoon, to be able to do the ketores on the Mizbeach HaPanimi. And then there was this additional pyre, which was special for Yom Kippur, for the Gecholim to take in with the ketores Lefnai V'Lefnim inside the Kodesh Kodesh. So that is according to Reb Yehuda, the first Maizyam. Reb Yoisi Yoim, the Choli Yoim, Sholish Vayoim Arba. Every single day of the week we had three fires. Today we had four. Today meaning on Yom Kippur. What is the three fires? Which are the three fires? Achash Maracha Gedola, the big one for the Ola, other Kabbalahs. Achas Maracha Shnia Shel Ketores, where they removed the coals and took them into the Mizbeach HaPanimi. V'achash Shel Kiyama Eish. Ooh, what is this Kiyama Eish business? So Rashi says, Sirashi, roughly a third down the Yomid, Shokiyam Eish, Shem Ein Eish Shomaroch Gedoyla. What happens if it's a really heavy day? There are tremendous amounts of kabbalas being brought, and the fire in the Maracha Gedoyla is just not large enough for the contents to go and burn everything. So what do you do? Shein Ein Eish Shomaroch Gedoyla Miskader, Misifan Ola Midet. So then we add some more coals and some more fire from that backup Kiyomo Eish Maracha, just to make sure that there will be enough fire, enough coals to go and consume all the kabbalas Maracha Gedoyla. We borrow some stuff from the Maracha of the Kiyomo Eish.
Kind of like a pilot light.
Okay, I presume it was larger than that, because of wire light.
Big one runs out of steam, out of fuel. Why would the little one be more apt to be still functioning, still burning?
because the big one was on a heavy duty day where you're bringing 50, 100, 200, 500, 1,000 kabanas of olos and shlomim and chatas and osham, as well as olas re'iyah, shalmei chagiga, yom tov time. That's a huge amount. In fact, the ash accumulated, according to the Gemara, up to 300 kart, which is a guzma, but nevertheless, a huge amount. When you had your daily normal fire of 2 gziri eitzim, that could not consume that huge mass. So, of course, they added eitzim. But until they added the eitzim, it takes time for the eitzim to get consumed by the fire. So, in the meantime, they took some of the coals from the Kiyum HaEish Maracha, which were nice and beautiful and hot and fiery. We added that, and all of a sudden, the fire got greater steam, if you will, to be able to go and burn up the huge amount of kabbas. So this was a backup when was necessary. Like we had until now. And then we have a machlokes with the Meir, just Rebbe. Here the Sirs of Shas takes that Meir, he says it's just Rebbe. However, later on in the Gemara we refer to as Rameir once again, so we can stay with Rameir. So what does Rebbe say? The Sirs of Shas, when he says it, Rebbe, because he says it's how Toysis is greatest. I am the Toysis. Anyway, so Rebbe Omer, the Meir Omer, b'chol yom arba, every day there were four, b'yom chamish there were five. What are the four and five? Ach shem arocha gedoyla, the big one. Ach shem arocha shdeir shok tairis, he took off the coals for the mizbeach ha-panimi. Ach shem kiyom ha-eish, just in case it would be a heavy duty day and there wasn't enough fire on the big marocha, he would take the coals and shovel them over from the marocha shlishes. V'yach zeivor v'dorm shalein es ach mi bo'erev. And there was another one for Eivorim Pedorim. Eivorim means from the carbon oila. Pedorim means the aimrin from all of the carbonas. So there's achlum in the Arab that were not consumed overnight. And therefore we needed an extra marach. And why weren't they consumed overnight? So Rashi says there are two possibilities. Rashi is almost halfway down. Shloin is achlum. Either shloin nitnu al maracha. They weren't put on the maracha. Nobody said it. Big day. And the Kohanim didn't get a chance to put it on the Maracha until close to the next morning. Or they were put on the Maracha when they speak of the Saga. But because such a huge volume of a Murin or a Varim, they have not been consumed yet. So we want to finally finish off of the Avarim and Pedarim. We're not going to finish it off. It's just going to accumulate. So what do? So Baruch Hashem, we have an extra maracha. So you have any Avarim Pedarim that have not been consumed by fire overnight, before Lina, before the morning, shnell, put it onto this fourth maracha so they will all get consumed. And the Achshu we see from Bayyam. And of course, like everybody holds, we add one more for Yom Kippur.
Excuse me, why are we saying it's Rebbe Rebbeir? And the Mishnah says Rebbeir. I'm surprised that there's a...
Do you see that there's a Vav here next to Meir?
Yeah.
Okay, where's the Vav taking to? Sir Shishas. What does it say, Sir Shishas? Vav, do you see that?
Right, the Tosos?
The Tosos, like. Less. If you look in the Tosos, who discusses all of these Mandi Amr, okay. He refers to him as Rebbe as opposed to Meir.
Okay.
Good. So I said before there were four Mandi Amr, there were really three Mandi Amr. We're going to have another Reb Shimon we haven't mentioned yet. But Reb Shimon will just be in accordance with Reb Yossi, as we'll see in Yet Hashem. But therefore, there are three opinions as to how many Marachas. According to everybody, there was one additional one on Yom Kippur. Throughout the year, were there two, were there three, or were there four? Now, of course, they didn't just make this up by pulling something out of the hat, but rather, each one of them has psukim, as we've seen now in the Gemara. The Kuli Alamiyas Tarti Islu. Everybody agrees that there's a minimum throughout the year of two Marachas Binol, and how do we know? Amakra, says the Pasuk. We already had this Gemara earlier, a few days ago. The Gemara repeats it again. It says in the Pasuk, Hiyo Oilam Moipa Mizbeach Alayla Neboiker, Eishu Mizbeach Tukad Boi. And where is this Pasuk? The Pasuk is the very beginning of Parshas Tzav. In fact, it's the second Pasuk in Tzav, because the first Pasuk in Tzav is Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Leimor. Tzav es Aron v'Zbonav Leimor. Go and command the Harnu Bonav. Zoi Yisrael Oila. What should you do with the Oila? Hiyo Oila Al Moit Al Mizbeach Al Alayla Neboiker. That's the famous Oila that we put on through the Mizbeach. And it can burn overnight, if necessary, until the morning. The Eishim Mizbeach took Advoi. Now the Eishim Mizbeach took Advoi would seem to be totally redundant, because we already said the Oila on the Moita. Moita means on the pyre, on the Mizbeach, on the altar. So why does it say the Eishim Mizbeach took Advoi? We already spoke about the pyre on the Mizbeach. Tukat. Tukat and Moita are the same Lashon, the same Shoresh. Each one means a burning pyre on the Mizbeach. So it's just repetitive. And therefore, says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Because the first part of the Pasuk is referring to the big Maracha on the Mizbeach. That's Al Moita Al Mizbeach, Kol HaLayla Ad HaBoker. This was in use virtually 24 hours a day, because the Mizbeach was typically very, very busy. And all those Kabbanis that were not consumed on the Mizbeach during the day, Hekvich HaLav Mevorim Kol HaLayla. You can continue just piling them on and burning them up and consuming them on the Maracha the whole night. But besides that Maracha Gedoyla, which was Al Mizbeach Kol HaLayla, then there was a mini Maracha. Eishim Mizbeach took it by Zu Maracha Shnir Shel Torus, which didn't need to burn 24 hours. You only needed to burn some short time in the morning to produce coals for the Torus in the morning, and then again in the afternoon to produce coals for the afternoon. But otherwise, throughout the day, that Maracha could have been extinguished. We don't really need it. Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so everybody agrees we have the two. Moita Al Mizbeach Kol HaLayla. That's the big guy. And then the smaller one, Eishim Mizbeach took it by. Now, Rabbi Yossi holds that there's a third one. Kiyum Ha'esh, we know that. Where does he get that from? Nafgalei, from another pasuk. Vo'esh al mizbeach tukad bo'i. Now, where is this other pasuk? Notice that there is no number or os over here. But for some strange reason, if you go down three lines in the Gemara, you have the same pasuk quoted, vo'esh al mizbeach, and there you do have the number. Why is it numbered there and not here? I don't know. That's one of the many mysteries that you find throughout the Gemara. It's a nishkifach. So what is number four? The pasuk that we read until now was pasuk Beis in Parshas Tzav. Now we're skipping ahead three psukim to pasuk Hey in Parshas Tzav. In our Gemara, it's Torah or Hashalim, number four. Vo'esh ala mizbeach tukad boi loy sichbe uvir alea koinit amoyke amoyke, etc., etc., etc. Now the Gemara is wondering, why do we have to have yet another Vo'esh al Mizbeach Tukad Bay? Didn't we already say that twice in the earlier Pasuk, that you have Moita al Mizbeach Kol HaLayla, that was one Eish, and then the Eish al Mizbeach Tukad Bay, and now you have the Ho'esh al Mizbeach Tukad Bay? And how many times do you have to talk about that fire on the Mizbeach? Says Rabbi Yossi, because now we have a third fire. That third fire was the Kiyum Ho'esh fire. So that's how we know a third one. Like Yomara, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was a man Yama that said there are only two and not three, based on the earlier pasuk. What does he do with Vo'esh al Mizbeach? Yehuda, who the Hatzosis Alisa Hudi Asa. That comes to tell you that when you are kindling the small pieces of wood, Rashi says Alisa is Kismen Dakim. Those are like thin splinters. Think in terms of matches in a matchbox, but without the red sulfur on top. Or think about when you have a toothpick. That's the type of thing we're talking about. Small little kindle wood. The reason why you need that is for those of you that have ever been to camp, and even if you haven't been to camp, when you want to make a large campfire or bonfire, you can't just go and take 2, 3, 5 big logs and put a match and expect that it's going to be a fire 1 to 3. You got to start off small with little twigs. Today, a lot of people put in paper. A lot of people go in. Yeah, it's cheating, of course.
It's called kindlewood.
Kindlewood. Ah, so the Alisa, that's kindlewood. To kindle the rest of the wood and to kindle the whole fire. So what Avud is telling us is that Vo'esh al Mizbeach Tukad Bo'i, that's for the kindlewood on top of the Mizbeach. Now, what does that mean on top of the Mizbeach? As we'll see in another moment, what Avud is telling us is that when you are kindling the kindlewood to grow the big fire, don't do it down below on ground level, but rather go to the top of the Mizbeach, there go and kindle the kindlewood, and use that as your base for starting the big fire, the fires on the Mizbeach. Is Rabbi Yehuda who latzosus alisa the also the sanya hoyer Rabbi Yehuda imen minayin latzosus alisa shaloi tehei ella beroish shel Mizbeach. Don't light it down below. Light it dafka on top. How do I know? Tamal lewa eishal mizbeach tukad bay. Ah, so therefore I learned from that pasuk not to tell you Hilchos third maracha, but to tell you the two marachas that you have. You're trying to kindle them. You're trying to light them up. Do it eish Ala mizbeach, do it when you're standing on top of the mizbeach, and then to kadvay. Fine. So we have machlokes what you do with oish on mizbeach. Rabbi Yosi learns for a third marach. Rabbi Yehuda learns that's where you kindle the kindlewood. Om Rabbi Yosi. Minayin she'oisa. This is the same Rabbi Yosi that holds that there's a third maracha. Minayin she'oisa maracha l'kima eish. How do you know there's that third maracha? Tamaloyma vo'eish ala mizbeach tukad boy. Oh, the pasuk that we just brought. Rabbi Yosi hatzos elisa minolei. According to Rabbi Yosi, since Rabbi Yehuda uses the word vo'eish ala mizbeach to tell you about the hatzos elisa, they kindle wood. How does Reb Yoisi know that the kindlewood should also be kindled on the top of the mizbeach? Reb Yoisi atos alisa minolai nafkele mehechad and nafkele the Reb Shimon. He says, I learned it from Reb Shimon's pasuk. Who's Reb Shimon? Oh, this Ani, we have another brayse. Says in the brayse, the nosim bnei Aharon hakoyin eish al hamizbeach. The bnei Aharon, in addition to the eish that came down every day min hashamayim, at least in the first place of Yiddish, there was a mitzvah on the kohanim to go and bring Eish min ahejit, meaning our eish from down below. So Bnei Aharon brought eish al mizbeach. Says the Gemara, limet al hatzosus alisa shloi tehei ele bekoyin kosher ubekli sharis div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said previously that the hatzos alisa has to be on top of the mizbeach, based on the pasuk for eish al mizbeach tukad boy. Make sure when you're lighting and kindling the kindlewood, it should be on the Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach. Now, Rabbi Yehuda adds from this pasuk, you know who's supposed to do the Hatzos HaLisa? It's got to be a Kohen, not a Zor, not a Balmum, a Kohen Kosher. Over the Klisharis, he's got to be wearing his big day kahuna. This is also considered to be Ashtikul Avoida, Kohen Kosher with Klisharis, as is a Rabbi Yehuda. Omelet Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you need this new pasuk for? Since you, Rabbi Yehuda, agree based on the Eish al Mizbeach to Kadboy, that the kindling of the kindlewood has to be done at the top of the Mizbeach, and since the Zohar is not allowed to get close to the Mizbeach, the Zohar was supposed to be in their 11 Amois, those in the Yud Aleph Amma of the Ezra Yisrael, so there's another 11 Amois even before you get to the Mizbeach. Al Achaz Kamavi Kama, they have no business being on the Mizbeach. So what do I need a special posse to tell you, the coin Koshim, short? Avad has got to be a coin. Azor has no way of getting him. Ellen, therefore, says Reb Shimon, Liman al Hatzosus al Isa Shalei Tehei al Barosh Shalom Mizbeach. Ah, the Makoyer of the kindling, the kindlewood Barosh Shalom Mizbeach, is not from Bo'esh ala Mizbeach to Kadboy, says Reb Shimon. But I learned it from this Pasik. The Nosim and the Aharon Akoyin Eish ala Mizbeach. Where do they go and bring the Eish? Ala Mizbeach, on top of the Mizbeach. That's where they kindle the kindlewood on the top, not down below. As is Dr. Reb Shimon. Ah, says Reb Yosi, that's where I learn my din of the kindling of the kindlewood, from the Nosim and the Aharon Akoyin Eish ala Mizbeach. So, Ibazoi, what do I do with the Pasik of Eish ala Mizbeach to Kadboy? That Pasik is now superfluous, and I use it, says Reb Yosi, to tell you my din of a third maracha lekiyomo eish. So now, that's very good. So Rabbi Yosi now has defended his position, even though Rabbi Yehuda uses for eish al mizbeach tukad boy legabi the hatzosas elisa, the kindling of the kindlewood on the top of the mizbeach. Says Rabbi Yosi, no, I use the pasuk nosim neharna koy, just like Reb Shimon does. So therefore, you're going to ask me, what do I do with Vaish al Mizbeach? That's for the third Maracha Kiyam Vaish. Faitimor Reb Yehuda, what does Reb Yehuda answer to Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon has a very convincing reason.
Yes.
If you tell me that that source at least has to be in the top of the Mizbeach, and if you tell me that the Zohar is not allowed to get close to the Mizbeach, so what do I need a posse to tell you that it's got to be Bekoyin? Everything of Reb Yehuda, Imei Hasan, if it would just be based on the earlier pasuk of Eish al Mizbeach Tukad Boy, have a mina koya arav ovid b'mapucha. Ooh, I have an excellent idea. Maybe Azor could go and place and kindle the kindlewood at the top of the Mizbeach. You're going to tell me, how is that possible? He can't even get close to the Mizbeach. He would use one of those professional bellows or professional blowers. So he would stand a few feet away, and he would go and
bellow.
Fan the flames.
Fan the flames.
It's quite a distance, though. I mean, he's it's.
I agree with you.
Bellow.
You're talking about 30
on a practical level. It's not very practical, but at least it's a theoretical possibility. If for commercial, and that's why the Gemara tells us, no, this is prohibited. It's got to be totally done by a kohen. Our Gemara used the expression of the Mafucha. Rashi uses another expression also that he could Yisrakenel in his mech. I might think that he would go and take a ball of flames, pull a fire, and throw it to the top of the mizbech. I guess if he had a good pitcher's arm, he could do that. Anyway, Kamashulah, that's why I have to have a combination of the both psukim. One to tell you that at least is on top of the mizbech, and to tell you that it's got to be done by a zar and not by a kohen. How can a zar get close to the mizbech? He can't, but he would do it from afar with remote control. Okay, so now we've gone through the first three madim, and now we come to Rameir. For some reason, the Sorge Shas doesn't take out Meir over here. Presumably he would be consistent with him, he'd just be a rabbi. Okay, so what does Rameir say? How do we know that we have a fourth pyre for purposes of the unconsumed Eivorim Vedorim? What is a Vaish? That's that original Pasik days, which we recorded before. The first real pasuk, real pasuk. Pasuk beis in parshas Tzav. Tzav is harvi is born of blame. Mezoyis teres oil he oil on mizbeach on raya kol laila ara boiker. The eisha mizbeach tukad boy. Since the eisha mizbeach tukad boy is referring to the maracha shnia, why do we have the vav? It could have simply said eisha mizbeach tukad boy. And vav comes to tell you that there's yet another pyre, and that's the number four, the one for the avonim tar. Why don't they agree with Rameir? This Rabbanan could be all the foregoing. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Why don't they agree with Rameir that there was yet another pyre based on above? Rabbanan Vav, they don't darshan the extra Vav. They say Vav is just for convenience sake to make the structure of the Pasuk understandable, that there's a first one Marocha and then there's a second Marocha. So the end is highly appropriate. It's not there for drasha. What would they do? It? I mean, the mayor has a good point. If you have so many Avorim Pedorim and they were not consumed overnight, what are you going to do with them? So, just go and when the Marocha Gedoyla will free up, then you'll add them to the big Marocha. What happens with the Avorim Pedorim that were not consumed overnight, either because they were not placed on the Marocha Gedoyla, or they were there and fell off, or there was such a huge volume it just simply wasn't consumed? What do you do with them? What the Gemara is telling us? The Gemara is telling us is that Eivorim Vedorim have to be put up on the Mizbeach Kol HaLaila. If they're not put up by the end of the night, in other words, by Amud HaShachar, comes Amud HaShachar, they become Posel Belina, and therefore you won't be able to put them anymore on the Marocha, and you're going to have to go and burn them because they're now Posel. Not burn them on the Mizbeach, but burn them on a Beis Hadesh. So now the question is, so what do I do if I have this huge volume? Says the Gemara, if there's no room on the Marocha Gedoyla, place it on the rest of the Mizbeach, wherever you can find room on the Mizbeach. Right, on the left, the north, the south, the east, put it on the Mizbeach, even if it's not on the Marocha. Now, what happens if there's not enough room on the Mizbeach? Put it on the Kevesh, Kevesh being the ram. The ram also has the same status of the Kedusha light, the Mizbeach itself. If you put on the ramp, that also protects it, so it insulates it from becoming Hosabalina at Amud HaShachar. Or you can even put it on the Sovei. Sovei is that ledge that's sticking out from the side of the Mizbeach, roughly 5 amas from the ground. And on that Sovei, place there the extra Emer and Pedarim, whatever you need, wherever you can find it. You cannot put it on the Yisod down below, because that's already Lamata, but you have to put it Lamala, because you're putting it on the Marocha. So if you can't find room in the Marocha Gedoyla, on the Mizbeach, on the Kevesh, and on the Sovev, until finally there will be room in the Marocha Gedoyla, and then you put it on. So even if it takes the next day, as long as it was insulated from Lina, because it was placed on the Mizbeach, all of these adjunct parts of the Mizbeach. So how do I know? Tamaloy Mertzit, the Pasik, Ashetoy Chalo Eish Es Oyla Al HaMizbeach. Now what's the Raya from this Pasik? So this is a new pasuk that we didn't have until now. This is a pasuk 1 that's here on the side. This follows right after the pasuk days that we had on the Amud Aleph. Tzavas Ahar Mizban of Leim Mazoyz Teres Oyla. And then the pasuk ended off Eishem Mizbeach Tukad Boy. And now the next pasuk says V'lo V'shekoyim Mizivad V'mikla Sevad Yilbash Obsari V'hein Mizadesh Toichol Eish Es Oyla Mizbeach V'samoy Eitzel Mizbeach. Now it says over here Asher Toichol Eish Es Hu Oyla Al Mizbeach. Now this is again repetitive, because the previous pasuk already said that the oila here oila al moita al mizbeach kol alayla. It was on the moita, on the pyre, the whole night. So what was it doing the whole night on that fire? It was being consumed by the fire. So why does it have to say again asher toichelo eish es oila al mizbeach? Why is that necessary? That comes to tell you, says Rashi, that you have an inyan of tchilas the evening, or tchilas the day, put it on the mizbeach, and you also have the soif. Meaning, avad and avad, the best thing would be to do every time you have a varim b'darim, put it on the maroch as soon as possible. But there will be times that you won't be able to because of the huge volume. So at least put it out at the end of the day, or sometimes even into the next day, as long as it was insulated by placing it on the mizbeach somewhere during the night. If you look at the top Rashi, Asher Toichel Eso Oyla, in Eino Inyan Letchilasa, Doksiv, it says in the Pasuk Beis, Ho Oyla Al Moitam Mizbeach Kol Alayla, it's in Eino Inyan Soifa, Avada, it's better if you put the Oyla immediately, but if you can't, then you put it later. That's the idea of the next Pasuk, Asher Toichel Oyla Al Mizbeach. So bottom line, the Rabbanan say, we didn't have a fourth Marocha for the the Pedarim, the Abram Pedarim, because if you had this excess that Remeir is so concerned about, guess what? Later on that night, or the next day, we're going to go and put it on the Merach and Gedolah, but make sure it didn't become possible either. Fine. Now the question is, we have the Remeir. What does he learn from Ashatoicha so Aisha so Oila Allah Mizbeach? Because the Rabbanan used that pasuk to tell you, just put it later in the day, later in the evening, later the next day, onto the Merach Gedolah. What does Remeir do with that? Because according to Remeir, we had a separate pyre. Says Remeir, Ikuli Oila Atamachzi Atamachzir Ikuli Ketoyz. That pasuk is telling you something else entirely. The word Ikuli means parts of the oila, or parts of the ketoidus that have not been fully consumed but have jumped off of the mizbeach as a result of sparks of the mizbeach. If you've ever seen a fire, campfire, bonfire, etc., you'll often find that sometime during the fire, parts of the fire will kind of jump off of the fire, a piece of wood or whatever you are roasting on the fire, maybe a marshmallow, maybe a hot dog, or something else. It'll kind of, a spark will cause it to jump off. So what happens if ikuli oila, if a piece of oila falls off, excuse me, atamachzi, that you have to return to the mizbeach, referring of course to the mizbeach hachitzoy. However, if on the mizbeach hapanimi, because of sparks, guess what happens? Some of the ketores spills off, that you don't have to return. You know, that's not necessary. Why? Because that you learn from the asher toichel eish, so oil al mizbeach, that you have to make sure is fully consumed by toichel eish. But by the ketores, that's not absolutely necessary. How do I know? The Tanya Chananya bar Ben Yumi bar Rebbe. I'm sorry, B'debei Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, in the Smedish of Lezer ben Yaakov, Asher Toichel Eish Es Oila Al Mizbeach, Ikuli Oila Atamachs, Atamachs Ikuli Ketoyis. If some of the Ikuli Ketoyis fell off, you don't have to return it, that's fine. Look at the second Rashi from the top of the Yom, Ikuli Oila, Poikin Shepoku Mi'ala Eish. Poikin means those parts of the carbon that jumped off, fell off the Eish from the fire. Kari Bay, it says about them, Asher Toichel Esu Oila Al Mizbeach, put it back, be mala them on the Mizbeach again if they fell off. But that only applies to the Oila. Doesn't apply to the Kulik Toyot, that you don't have to return to the Mizbeach. Okay, so now we've gone through a number of Sukkim, and what have we come out bottom line? According to Rabbi Yehuda, we had two pyres on a daily basis. According to Rabbi Yossi, we had three. According to Meir, we had four. But Kuli Alma, but everybody agreed that Mias Moisifim by Bayoy, that you add Islahu. They all held the same that on Yom Kippur we add one more. And the purpose of that one more was for the Gecholim, for the Ktoiris that were going to be Makter Lefnai Belefnim. Praytima Menolahu. How do I know? Yet another pyre for Yom Kippur. Nafkalahu Mivehoesh. That the pasuk we had already before, that pasuk we had on the Amud Aleph, Vehoesh Alamizbeach, Tukat by Loisichbe. From the Eish Alamizbeach, Rabbi Yossi learned that there is a third pyre, and that third pyre was for Kiyom HaEish. Says the Gemara, for that it could have said Eish Al HaMizbeach Tukad Bay, or HaEish Al HaMizbeach, but it says VeHaEish Al HaMizbeach Tukad Bay. Ah, so an extra Vav Hey, as the Gemara is going to tell us momentarily. On the Omid Aleph we said that Rabbanan disagree with Remeir and they don't learn the Vav of VeEish. What was the first pasuk?
The
Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bay. Thank you.
Pasuk
Beis. The Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bay. Tukad Bay means it's burning and it's firing. The word Moked and Tukad and Mokta all means a burning, fiery fire. So now there it said the Eish HaMizbeach. Here it says the HaEish. So it's not just a Vav, it's a Vav. Hey, Vav Hey Darsh. So therefore, everybody agrees to this Vav Hey Darsh to tell you that there's one extra one that we do for Yom Kippur. That was Pasuk Hey, and that's why it's the Vav Hey.
Hey!
That's a good point, brother Shai. Thank you.
Yeah,
hip hip hooray. No, I'm sure you meant it. Good. Anyway, so continuing on. That may be related to the famous Ben Hey Hey Omer that we have in Berakhos Yomis. The reason why it says Ben Hey Hey, it says in the Toises in Masechtas Chagiga, we have Ben Bag Bag and we have Ben Hey Hey. Says the Toises to go and tell us that these were distinguished in the fact that they were Gerim. What does Gerim have to do with any of this? Because we find that the first people in Klal Yisrael that were Makar of Gerim were Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu. Avram was Mekarev Megayres Hu Anoshim, and Sarah was Megayres Esa Noshim. Therefore, each one of them was Zochet to have an extra hay placed in their names, because Avram was Avram and became Avraham. Sarah was Sarai and became Sarah. This Ben Hey Hey symbolizes and reflects the fact that this person was a Ger or Ben Gerim, symbolically reflected by the original two Migayer Gerim, Avram and Sarah. So what does it have to do with Ben Bag Bag?
The exertion of the hay for Avraham was that then they gave Jews in that sense?
In a sense, they had a special Chibi Yaseir, a special closeness to God. So in a sense, yes, they became close, and they brought other people closer to God, and they made them together. And now Ben Bagbag, because the gematria of Bagbag, Beis and Gimel, Beis of course is 2, Gimel is 3, 2 plus 3 is 5, so therefore again Ben Bagbag, the 5 of Avram, the 5 of Sarah, Ben Gimel. Anyway, so getting back to Agamar, so Brother Shai has also introduced now a Hey Hey, and that is from this Vav Hey, which is a Pasuk Hey, to go and tell you that we had a fifth Maroch according to everybody. Some was number 3, number 4, number 5, but the maximum was number 5. Hey. Okay, continuing on. Zokti Yamaram. Darsh. Eish Tamid Lamayasa. What do we use with the word Eish Tamid? Could have said the Eish. What's the extra Tamid? Dr. Yamara, that was in the original Pasuk Beis.
We had one here, I think, Pasuk Birka Vav, Pasuk Vav.
Okay, Vavav. Tabasav is one of Leymar, the Eish HaMizbeach. No, it doesn't say Tamid.
In the Torah, I'll show you here. It's number 3.
Vav, thank you. Eish Tamid took a Mizbeach, Leisichma says Eish Tamid. Good. How come the 3 is not over here? How come the 3 is the next line? Akashif Hamas. It's consistent with the Amud Aleph, where also the numbers were placed later on the time.
So the proofreader wasn't proofreading this one.
Exactly. So Eish Tamid L'may Asim, Miboy Levikadisani. We have a price. Eish Tamid Tukum Zveach Lisichva, a brand new Pasik. So what do we learn from that Pasik? Liman Amarach Shnia Shal Ketairish Leitehei, Ella Ala Mizbeach Hachitzoy. Aha. Okay, comes to tell you that the Mizbeach, the Maroch Shnei of Ketores, has got to be on the Mizbeach HaChitzoin. Now, the question is, so, continue on. Eish Machtu Menoyra Minayim. How do I know the Eish Machtu Menoyra? Okay, so, Before we continue on, had we not had this pasuk Eshtamet Tuka Mizbeach, I might have thought, yes, there is a Maracha Shnia, which we learned from that pasuk base.
But it's inside.
But maybe it's on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Because after all, the purpose of the Maracha Shnia was solely for the Ketores. And the Ketores is being burned on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Wouldn't it make more sense, L'chora, to have that Maracha Shnia always burning on the Mizbeach HaPnimi instead of having to go and pull some of the ash, some of the coals from the Mizbeach Achitzayin and bring the Bnei HaPnimi? That's why you have the ash on the Mizbeach, took it by. That's got to be Tomid on the regular Mizbeach, not on the secondary Mizbeach, so to speak. Okay, but we're going to learn now yet another drasha. And what is in that next drasha? Ash Machta U'Menoira Minayin. Now these are not three concepts, it's Ash Machta and Menoira. What is the Ash Machta referring to? Rashi says Ash Machta is referring to the Ash of Yom Kippur of Lefnai Lefnim, as well as the Eish of the Menorah, to be Madlik the Menorah. How do we know that we should make the two pyres for those purposes on the Mizbeach HaChitzayin and not the Mizbeach HaPnimi? We haven't really identified where on the Mizbeach HaChitzayin we take the fire from for the Menorah, but presumably you would take it from that Maracha Shnia, which you're using for the Ketores, because after all, you only really need a relatively small flame for purposes of lighting the Menorah. How do you know that that too comes from the Mizbeach HaChitzayin and not the Mizbeach HaPnimi? So both the Eish Ketores, Ketores for Yom Kippur, and the, that's the Eish Machta, as well as the Menorah on a daily basis. Minayin. So it's more of a dinu. Nemra Eish Ketores, for Nemra Eish Machta. I have one word, Eish by Ketores. Now where do I have Eish by Ketores? It's number 4 here on our page. Beitzel of Ahar and Ketores Sam Beiker, but Beiker Beitiva is Aneiros Yakti Rena. Now, if you look very carefully at the pasuk, it doesn't say the word Eish over here. Does that mean that the printer has made a printing mistake? And the answer is no, he hasn't. He's just following Rashi. Why is he following Rashi? Because if you look at Rashi, Rashi about a quarter down, Nemar Kan Eish Ketores. Dichsiv Yaktirana Ve'einak Torah B'lo Yesh. In other words, in fact, there is no specific pasuk linking together Eish and Ketores. Nevertheless, we mean the daily Ketores, because when we're going to talk about the Eish that we used on Yom Kippur, there we're going to have a pasuk of Eish. V'lokach Malei Hamachta Gachle Eish Mi'alim Mizbeach Lefnei Hashem.
So I've seen the Shabbat Kohen or Boa Kohen, but here we're having, the word is even there, and we're making a linkage.
Well, Shav and Boaz, also two different words. Here too, Eish and being makters to the same concept. Good. Anyway, just as an aside, Rashi was the one that brought this pasuk Yachirana, and Sura Arashonim brings from others a second pasuk, which is not in Parsha Tzav, but rather all the way in the middle of Korach or of Balak. It says, Usnu Vehein Eish. The reason why we're not quoting that pasuk, because that Ketores is not talking about the Ketores in the base of English. That's
the
talking about
hands of Aaron,
and that's by Korach. Again, you have an Eish with Ketores. Okay, so getting back to our Gemara, Eish Machta Umenoyra Minayin V'dinam Nemra Eish V'Ketores V'Nemra Eish V'Machta. Aha. So Eish B'Ketores means the daily Ketores, that's the Yakti Rena. And then the Eish B'Machta, that Rashi is number, that's number 5 in Torah Shalom. Melokah Moli HaMachta Gachli Eish Mal Mizbeach Melefnei Hashem U'Ketores Sam Daka Meloi Chofnov, that's on Yom Kippur. Ketores Sam Daka Ve'Evi Beis LaParoiches, that's a pasuk, of course, in the beginning of Achrei Mois. And again, talking about the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So you have Eish B'Ketores and Eish B'Machta U'Menoira. You have Eish by the Menoira when you light up the Menoira. Mal Alon Al Mizbeach HaChitzayin, just like there when you are supplying the Eish for the daily Ketores and the Eish for the daily Menorah, you're taking the Mizbeach HaChitzayin, Afkan. Here too, on Yom Kippur, when you're taking in the Eish into Lefnai V'Lefnim, Afkan Al Mizbeach HaChitzayin. How do you learn that? Eish, Eish, the Takzeri Shav. Says Yimara, like Lachel Derech Zu. Maybe I should learn the Takzeri Shav, but learn it a little bit differently. Nemra Eish Victorious, the Nemra Eish V'Machta. Umenoyer. Mal alon besamachloi, af machta umenoyer besamachloi. In other words, just like in each case, I try to find a close mizbeach for this purpose, so here too I should find a close mizbeach for this purpose. Meaning that when I'm burning every single day the Ketores and the Mizbeach HaPnimi, which is the closest Mizbeach to the Mizbeach HaPnimi. But the Gemara is learning it's a Mizbeach HaChitzai, because we're saying it's Somach, it's close, but not the same one. So what's the closest which is not the same one? That's a Mizbeach HaChitzai. That's why you take the fire from the Mizbeach HaChitzai, put it on a daily basis, Mizbeach HaPnimi, to go and burn the Ketores. See here too, when you are lighting up the menorah, where is the menorah? The menorah is inside the Hechel. What's the closest Mizbeach to it? That's Mizbeach HaPnimi. Same thing is the Eish HaMachta, which you take Lefnai V'Lefnim on Yom Kippur, which is the closest Mizbeach to it? Mizbeach HaPnimi. Ah, so maybe you learn from this Eish Eish B'Samach Loi that you should not take it from the Mizbeach HaChitzai, but the
relatively
fire,
close one, not the absolutely, not the absolute one outside.
Exactly. HaMachta is Menorah of Samach Loi, Tamal Loi, and that's why it says Eish Tamit took on Mizbeach Loi Sechbe. Eish Tamid Shemarti Lecha Leitehel Baroish Shal Mizbeach. The Eish Tamid is going to be on the Mizbeach, and from this I learned the two, the Eish of the Machta and the Eish of the Menorah. Says Yimar, one second, let me understand. L'manu Eish L'Menorah, that I can take the Eish L'Menorah. Why can I take the Eish L'Menorah? Because says Rashi, it says about the Menorah, Lahalois Ner Tamid, that when you go and light the Menorah, she will Lahalois Ner Tamid. And this week's center, of course, is Parshas Balois. But the pasuk that we're quoting is from Shemois, Chavzai. Anyway, you see the Hey Maseres Shas. Regardless, the point is that the fire on the menorah was tamid in the sense that it was every single night lit shortly before night, lit the entire night until the morning, and so therefore it was in that sense tamid, that it was lit on a daily basis and it was lit up every single night the entire night. Oh, so that's near tamid, and I'm learning it now from the Eish tamid begabe the mizbeach. But the Eish of the Machta, it doesn't say anywhere the word tamid. And in fact, it wasn't tamid, it was only once a year. And so therefore, Zokti Yomara, I am now stuck. I wanted to learn both the Eish Machta and the Menorah, that you take the fire from the Mizbeach HaChitzai. I learned Eish Eish, and I'm not learning Samach Loi, but rather I'm learning from Eish Tamid, to go and tell you, from the Rosh Mizbeach of the Chitzai, we're also using the expression Tamid, that was impossible above, right? Eish Tamid took a Mizbeach Loisichwe, so that's Eish Tamid. Menorah is also Tamid, oh, that works beautifully. Zochim more in the second wide line, Lamanu Eish Lamanoira. Eish Lamachta Minai, we don't have the benefit of the word Tamid, and therefore we have again the same question. The Dinu. Nemra Eish Lamachta Minemra Eish Lamanoira. Malahalon Algam Mizbecha Chitzan Afkana Mizbecha Chitzan. That's very logical. Or Oiklach Laderachzu. Nemra Eish Bektoris Nemra Eish Lamachta. Malon Mesamachle Afkan Mesamachle. The Gemara is basically just repeating itself once again, that we resolved this shaila before, do we take the same mizbeach or do we take the samach loi? We resolved it by a eish tamid, but that eish tamid only helps for the menorah. What are we going to do for purposes of the eish machta for Yom Kippur? Talmud loyimar v'lokem aliyah machta gachli eish me'al mizbeach mi lifnei Hashem. So what does it mean mizbeach mi lifnei Hashem? Ezeu mizbeach shemiktsasi lifnei Hashem ein kul lifnei Hashem havi oim ezeu mizbeach achitzon. What's bothering the Mizbeach? The Chorit should have said, what's bothering the Gemara? The Chorit should have said, V'loka mo v'yamachta, gachli eish, mi'al the Mizbeach, lifnei Hashem. What is that? Mi lifnei Hashem. So mi lifnei, the word mem, or the letter mem, the Gemara is saying, here, reflects mitzas, not the entire lifnei Hashem. It's only partially lifnei Hashem. Oh, ha'v'yayim is a Mizbeach achitzai. That is referring to the Mizbeach HaChitzai, which is only partially lifnei Hashem.
It's all in the south, it's not in front of Hashem at all. That's the whole machlokas we had with the Mizbeach. In the south, midway or in the north.
We're going to discuss that in another moment. Shekoyach, for bringing that up. So that's a nice segue to what we're going to discuss in a moment. So now, the Gemara at this point is not learning like Barry was learning, Tzofin and Dorim, exactly where the Mizbeach was placed. But rather, what the Gemara is referring to is comparing the Mizbeach HaChitzai to Mizbeach HaPnimi. Mizbeach HaPnimi is inside the Heichel, so that's Mamish Lifnei Hashem, because it's right in front of the Kodesh Kedoshim. Mizbeach HaChitzai is somewhat removed, it's somewhat distant. Oh, that's why it's called Mi Lifnei Hashem, as opposed to Lifnei Hashem. If you look at the Rashi, five lines from the bottom of the Amid, right after the dark font, bold font. Eizel mizbech sheyesh lechelik boy ma mimenu lefnei Hashem. Which mizbech that you have part of it a chelik of nei Hashem? Shehuska kakos aleimen mi lefnei Hashem. And the yom is a mizbech achitzay tilupnimi kulay lefnei Hashem. If we were talking about the mizbech apnimi, we would say lefnei Hashem. He says mi lefnei Hashem means that there's some distance, if you will, to get to the chitzay. Okay. I'm going to go and use these two together to give you the full thought process. It's very logical that we're talking about the Mizbech HaPnimi because that's closer to the Kodesh Kedoshim. Take it. Exactly. Why do I have to go and schlep all the way from Mizbech HaKitza and I got a local Mizbech and I don't have to go international and I got local? Like we just lift milafnei Hashem, it's not lifnei, it's milafnei. Because of one milafnei Hashem, have a mina dafke milafnei Hashem, abel mehaygisa ein maloi. Now, what does that mean? So, look at the last Rashi on the Amud Beis. Dafke milafnei Hashem kenegra pesach mamish. Ah, so now we're talking back. In fact, where is the mizbeach achitzoin located vis-a-vis the opening of the ulam and the heichal? And that's the discussion we had earlier on in our Masechta, exactly where was the Mizbech? Was it midway? Was it below the Dorim line? In other words, midway and further down to the south? Or, in fact, was part of the Mizbech above the midway line and part of it was below the midway line? See, if we would just say, that the pyre from which you're taking the Gecholim has to be directly facing the Pesach of the Ulam and of the Heichal. And the Haigisa, when it happens to be a little bit to the north or to the south, Tap Rashi, the Haigisa, the Pesach, light. If it's not directly in front of the Pesach, it's a little bit higher, it's a little bit lower. The Avgav Tzad Marovi, it's still on the Marav side of the Mizbech, in that sense, it's Lifnei Hashem, it's not on the Mizrach side, it's on the left side, which is the western side, which is directly facing the Mizbech. And Mehagisa will be a little bit to the north, a little bit to the south. Ein Maloi, that's no good, because it's not Lifnei Hashem. That's why it says in the Pasuk, both Me'al ha-mizbeach me'lefnei Hashem, even if it's not directly in front of the Pesach, but it's still me'al ha-mizbeach, that works great too. That's why I have to both expressions to go and tell you that as long as it's on the western side of the mizbeach ha-chitzoin, anywhere that you have those gecholim, that would be kosher for purposes of the machta on Yom Kippur.
So on that square, on top of the mizbeach, on that
square, graphically specific there.
Yeah.
Where was the second fire?
My question. You had that square on top of the mizbeach. We had the big maracha in the center.
Mm-hmm.
Where, so that mini maracha that they use for the gecholim for the daily ketores, mm-hmm. was it in the? If you're going up the kevesh, mm-hmm. to your left is the ulam. In front of you is a big barach in the center. Where is that small?
Very good question. So it's a Gemara Masechtas Tamid and Daf Chof Tes. Gemara Masechtas Tamid tells us that the location of the second pyre, you start from the corner of the Mizbeach on the left hand side,
the southwestern
side. You go up north 4 Amos, and there at the end of 4 Amos, that's where you.
So it's relatively in the southwest quadrant of the Mizbech Chitzah.
That is correct.
Thank you. Facing, edging more toward the western face.
And edging also towards the north.
Towards the north.
We start 4 Amos up.
Edging toward the north.
Correct.
And if the Mizbech was entirely though in the south, according to the Rebbe Machlokas, it's toward the west, but it's not facing the Ulam. It's mm-hmm. it's if you were to draw a line mm-hmm. and go due west, you'd be hitting the building of the Kodesh. You wouldn't be
even though it's not connected to Pesach Mamish, but at least it's in that direction. It's on that side.
It's toward. It's inclined that way. Thank
exactly.
You.
You're very welcome.
When the overnight Kavanas were brought, the Eitzim were also burnt.
When you say overnight, you mean the kabbalists that were left over overnight. Okay, so every single day they put shtei gizrei eitzim in the morning. Shtei gizrei means two nice logs in the morning, and they also put two nice logs in the afternoon.
Yeah.
This was absolutely required. You had to have those new logs.
Okay.
If and when it was necessary to add an additional logs, then they would do that throughout the day. But if it wasn't necessary, it wasn't necessary. In the first place, the midrash typically was not necessary because the Eishmen HaShemayim, that was a fiery fire that came from heavens that consumed all the kabbalas. The reason why we have to go and put our own fire, because that's a mitzvah, they have to go and put down the eighth simulation. However, the second base simulation says that unfortunately we were not zocha that the eish from min hashemayim should consume. So it did come down every day, but it did not have
consumption.
It did not consume
the power,
any of
the power.
It was much more symbolic and beautiful, but it didn't have the force of the fire. Good. So you had to constantly add eitzim as there were more kabbanas to make sure the fire continued. And because we were concerned that maybe the fire eventually would get extinguished, that's why Rabbi Yossi said we had a special marachal, the kiel me'esh, special to have extra coals, extra fire the whole time, so we can go and place it on the big one in case it was necessary. Good.
The near tummy got its
fuel.
They
use lighter fluid.
Near tummy got its fuel also from the Mizbeach
Achitza. Is that the same near tummy that we have?
That's
the
top off. They talk about the top off.